All right, so welcome to Hunters and Gatherers with Conflicting Needs. And this is an introduction to both the Queen's Code Workshop and a Hero's Challenge. So Queen's Code, probably obviously for women, and Hero's Challenge for men. And some of you may have joined us a few weeks ago for Hunters and Gatherers with Conflicting Intentions. And if you did, welcome. And there's some things that may be a review for you and definitely some new material. And if you are not familiar with this conversation or with me, I'm Allison Armstrong, and I've been studying men and by reference women since 1991. And in the beginning, I thought it would take 2 or 3 months to learn everything that was worth knowing about men, because like most women, I thought men were shallow. And if somebody had said that almost 25 years later, I would still be studying men and men and women and men, and how can we partner between the opposite sexes, and how can men and men and women be in partnership and work and home and family. If someone said I'd be doing that all this time later, I probably wouldn't have believed them. But it's not because of my commitment, although I get acknowledged for that a lot. It's because it's fascinating to me, and I'm passionate about it. And I'm especially passionate about clearing up the misunderstandings that have us be in conflict and have us disempower ourselves and each other when we really don't need to. And I'm particularly interested in men and women not disempowering themselves and each other, because you might have noticed our world is not in great shape. And everywhere you look, there's a problem we're solving. And if we had more energy to solve it with, we could really get some cool stuff done. So taking each other out or taking ourselves out doesn't just hurt us, it hurts everybody. So whether you want to participate in our curriculum to be more successful or more attractive, or to be a force in ending hunger or poverty or war or racism or ageism or illiteracy or anything else you're passionate about, this work goes from one end to the other. So with that as an overview of what has me be here, the thing I'd like to say is that I'm going to make some assertions about human behavior that I can't prove to you, and I don't really have the attitude that they're true and need to be proven. I'm more interested in points of view that are empowering, ways to look at things that naturally give us access to qualities of life and experiences of life that are normally out of reach. We just, no matter what we do, we can't get there. We can't accomplish it. And so I'm always interested in what's the paradigm in which that would be a natural outcome with a whole lot less effort. And in paying attention to human beings over all this time, one of the points of view that I really love is the idea of human beings as hunters and gatherers. And anthropologists usually talk about us as hunter-gatherers, and there are places in the world where you can find hunter-gatherer civilizations that still exist. But I like the application of the idea of hunters and gatherers to the modern world. And what if hunting and gathering are fundamental survival instincts that actually being successful at that, optimizing our ability to hunt and gather, has shaped who we are? Another way of saying that is, what if hunting and gathering are actually operating systems? What if they're ways of relating to the world that aren't just habits or preferences, but are related to the ways that our brains are configured? What if there's a whole neurological, biological, ontological thing going on all at once, and that if we distinguish between these two different modes of hunting and gathering, that we can actually understand ourselves better, and we can understand other people better, and we can have a whole lot fewer misunderstandings, a whole lot more moments of yummy, wonderful connection and understanding and feeling supported and appreciated, feeling valued, feeling special, feeling successful and competent and able. You know, what if we could have that just by looking at ourselves through this lens of hunting and gathering? So that's what we're going to be doing here on this call, is applying this lens of hunting and gathering. And it's what I'll be doing in a couple of weeks in Los Angeles when I'm leading the Queen's Code workshop. I'll be bringing these distinctions into the Queen's Code workshop, where we're really distinguishing how does a hunter speak and listen and relate to facts and feelings, and what is the language that actually connects with that way of being oriented in life. So we go into it a lot more depth with the purpose of empowering women to both get what they need from men with a lot less effort, a lot less struggle, and in a way that empowers men, so men are better off for having provided for a woman, and one in which women take on a code of honor in the way that they're relating to men. So what if we laid down the sword? What if we didn't think men were fair game? What if we didn't practice disempowering and emasculating men as if it's what we're supposed to do? What if we saw men in a completely different way that had us cherish them and feel loved and adored and admired by them as a way of life? So that's what we're up to here. And in this conversation, hunters and gatherers with conflicting needs, we're really looking at in this objective of hunting and gathering and this operating system of hunting and gathering, what does that determine that we need? And that if we don't get that, we experience being anywhere from annoyed to frustrated to angry to betrayed to disrespected to dishonored to undermined. You know, that if we don't get what we need when we're in hunting or gathering mode, the experience of life is miserable. The experience of life is really like all the negative feelings and emotions that most people would like to avoid. It's the experience of being thwarted. So this topic obviously has a lot of benefit to it. And I want to start with just the basic distinguishing of the mode of hunting and the mode of gathering. And by the way, both men and women, near as I can tell from a lot of observation, both men and women have both hunting and gathering instincts. And neither one is better than the other. They're both critical to the survival of a human being and the survival of human tribes. So they're extremely valuable and valid. They're valid ways of seeing the world and experiencing life. And they both have the energy of survival behind them. So there's an intensity about hunting, and there's an intensity, equal intensity about gathering, which means there's an equal upset or frustration when there's no support, or when there's the opposite of support, which is what happens a lot. So throughout this conversation, I just invite you to find yourself. And if you can, to find yourself without judgment, that one isn't better or worse, one isn't stronger or weaker, they're just really different. and that you can, you may find yourself in different circumstances that you relate to the hunting, and in other circumstances you relate to the gathering, and around certain people you relate to hunting, and around certain people you relate to gathering, because they actually evoke it from you. And there'll even be circumstances that cause you to switch, especially if you're a woman, to switch from hunter to gatherer, or more likely that from gatherer to hunter. And what I've observed is that women tend to switch back and forth between the two of them more as a even daily or hourly occurrence, whereas men tend to stay more in a hunting mode for the first 40 or 50 years of their life, and then because of the effects of their hormones on them, their brain actually reconfigures and they start thinking and acting more like a gatherer. So that's something that you might relate to either for yourself or for the men in your life. All right, so the basic way that I'd like you to think about hunting and gathering is to think about the difference between a process of thinking where you're open to possibilities, where you're open to possibilities, you're open to options, you're open to alternatives. It's a not a committed way of being. It's actually a purposely uncommitted way of being that keeps you flexible and adaptable and open to better things coming along. And that is the mental state and thinking process, if you will, that's consistent with a successful gatherer. When you're in gathering mode, success depends upon being open to possibilities and options and alternatives, being flexible, being adaptable, going with the circumstance. And another way of thinking about it is, you know, if you can imagine yourself being, you know, cave woman, being an ancient woman, and you're in the meadow, you don't want to be stuck on, you know, gathering seed heads from wheat when what's in abundance are blackberries. Do you know that you could go after the few seed heads that aren't quite mature and completely ignore the blackberries if you were just focused on that, when what you need to be open to is what is there in abundance, what's ripe, what's ready, what's plentiful, what's nutritional, what's useful. And so this flexible, open, adaptable, looking for the best bet, looking for a better bet even, that's a natural way of thinking and seeing the world of a successful gatherer. Now, on the other hand, a successful hunter is going to be the opposite. As someone who in hunting mode is actually going to not be open to possibilities and follow this bunny that way and that deer that other way, a successful hunter is actually going to have an opposite position where what they are is committed. What they are is have a goal and they're focused. And they're focused on a specific result. They're focused on a specific intention. They're focused on a specific destination. So hunting is, and a successful hunter is going to be as committed to a specific result and thinking process organized around that specific result as a gatherer is going to be the opposite, is going to be open to possibilities and alternatives and better bets. So just notice in your life where you have specific intentions and goals and destinations, and kind of feel your way into that. What does that feel like when you're in that focused, committed state of being? And then notice a place in your life where you're keeping your options open. It could be for a man or woman in your romantic life. Maybe you're shopping for a mate, you know, and you're literally shopping. You're not hunting a mate. You're shopping for a mate. So you're open to all these possibilities. You go to the marketplace and you look for the best bets. You look for the best options. You're open to alternatives and possibilities. You could be the same way in your career. You could be the same way in selecting a place to live. You can be a gatherer in any circumstance, just as you could be in a hunting mode. You could be hunting an apartment. You could be hunting a husband. You could be hunting a job. You could be hunting the father of your child. And basically what's happening is it's just a different operating system. Even you could think of it like, you know, the difference between a Mac and a PC, you know. I think the Mac is going to be more the gatherer and open to possibilities, and the PC is going to be much more focused and linear and committed. That's just my read, having worked with both, right? So the states of being, this open versus committed, is what creates the difference in needs. And it creates these conflicts, actually, in what hunters and gatherers need. And more specifically, not the thing a hunter or gatherer, but when you're in hunting mode versus when you're in gathering mode, that will affect what it is that you need, and it will cause conflicts. It'll cause conflicts with other people, conflicts if you're in hunting mode with others in hunting mode, and others in gathering mode, and vice versa. We can have conflicts with people in the same modes as we are, or in opposite modes as we are. And it will cause conflicts in what we need, because that state of being committed or open actually causes life to occur a certain way. So, for example, when we're in hunting mode and we're committed, it causes our brain to zero in on what's relevant to what we're committed to, and to screen out or lower the volume or the visual intensity, even like the light and color, around what's irrelevant to what it is that we're committed to, that we're focused on. Whereas when you're in gathering mode and open to all these possibilities and alternatives and better bets, there's very little screening. That's the point. The point is to take it all in and to see all these things that could happen. And one of the things that this causes when we're in gathering mode is it actually causes multitasking, because we're compelled to act upon many alternatives at once. Because we don't commit, we're compelled to try to accomplish or gather or fulfill many things at one time. So if you think your way into those different mindsets and just notice what's natural for you, what is more predominant for you, what only shows up under certain circumstances, or maybe showed up in a different time in your life, you were more that way. Just start to notice it. It's a way to observe yourself and other people. And what's valuable about it, if you can look at these two operating systems as both important and valid, is it'll start to clear up times when you've been upset, when you felt like you were thwarted by somebody else. So, for example, when you're in hunting mode and you're just trying to get something done, and you've already committed to the thing you're going to get done, and you've committed to the method by which you're going to get it done. So another way of saying this is you have a plan, right? So you have a result, you have a way you're going to go about it, you have a plan, you probably have a timeline, because that's consistent with hunting, is a limited amount of time, and you're ready to go. You're locked and loaded. You just want to execute. And you may have this lovely gatherer, this delightful, happy, open gatherer who doesn't even realize that you're committed and locked and loaded and is still exploring alternatives. Well, do you really think we should do that? Maybe we should do this instead. Or is that the best way to do that? I mean, this is a more efficient method because gatherers are all about efficiency. And so they may be, they don't even mean to. They don't mean to be sabotaging you. They don't mean to be interrupting you. They don't mean to be distracting you. They're just in gathering mode. And everything is congruent in gathering mode, and everything makes sense in gathering mode, just as everything makes sense and is congruent when you're in hunting mode. But there's this gatherer who's questioning the method, who's questioning even the goal, who's proposing options and alternatives as if that's a good thing, as if that's a wonderful thing, as if that's a service to you. And all it's doing is driving you crazy because you're hunting and you have a specific result and you have a method and you have a timeline, and just stick to the plan, which is something that people in hunting mode will say a lot. Can't we just stick to the plan? Could we just stick to the plan? Now, another thing that will happen with conflicting needs is when we're in hunting mode, we need to stick to the plan. We need to just focus and eliminate all these options and get to work. But when we're in gathering mode, we actually will experience needing appreciation for what we're providing, that we need appreciation for these ideas. We need appreciation for these alternatives. We need appreciation for our ability to think outside the box. And we're not getting it. We're not getting appreciation for all our marvelous ideas and suggestions. Instead, we're getting shot down. So it's like we're in gathering mode. It's like we're floating these ducks up into the air, right? Like, what about this? What about this? And the person in hunting mode who's just trying to implement the plan and spend the least amount of energy on this distraction is just saying, no, 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 no. Just like shooting the ducks out of the sky. And it seems it takes a lot less effort to shoot the ducks out of the sky than it took to float the ducks into the sky. But the truth is, the person in hunting mode is so frustrated, is so annoyed to have to spend their time defending their plan, to have to spend their time and energy trying to protect, let's just implement, let's just execute. These things you're saying are not supporting me. They're just interrupting me and they're bothering me. And the person in hunting mode will get more and more agitated, while the person in gathering mode will get more and more agitated, more and more frustrated, more and more upset, and even have potentially their feelings hurt. When we're in gathering mode, we get our feelings hurt. When we're in hunting mode, we feel disrespected. Jeez, just get behind me. Right? Quit disrespecting me. Can't you see I'm trying to accomplish something here? And so this is how we end up with conflicting needs. And that's just one example of conflicting needs. I could give you example after example. Let me give you an example. So when we're in gathering mode, right, when we're not committed, and therefore we're really susceptible to wanting to do all these alternatives at once, you know, I should, you know, if you imagine a gatherer at home, for example, but, you know, there are plenty of us in gathering mode at the office too. So let's say we're at the office in gathering mode. oh my gosh, well, I should finish this report, but I should call this person, but I should return this message, but I should answer these emails, but I should empty the trash. When was the last time I ate? So we're pulled by all these alternatives and possibilities that are really advocating for themselves. Do me, do me. You know, you should do me now. And we can feel overwhelmed. We can feel overwhelmed by all of this that's demanding that we do it. And, you know, let's say that we are an executive and we're overwhelmed by all these things pulling at us because we're in gathering mode, and maybe we have a male assistant, and the male assistant is in hunter mode because that's a likely place for a young man to be. So he's in hunting mode, and you've given him an assignment, but you don't remember you gave him an assignment because you've already been pulled away. But you've given him an assignment, and he looks like he's doing nothing. He looks like he's just sitting at his desk or staring at his terminal, and his fingers aren't even moving. So here you are, overwhelmed with all these things that need to get done, and here's the person who works for you, who's supposed to work for you, who's just sitting there. And why don't they do something? You obviously have so many things to do. They should do something. Aren't they here to support you? They should do something. And they're sitting there doing nothing. And you can feel aggravated. You can feel undermined. What? Why do we even have this person? And what you might do is pick up the trash that's overflowing with all the discarded copies of the report that doesn't turn out right, and you pick up the trash like you're thinking, I should just take this out, and you realize I shouldn't take this out. They should take this out, and so you plop the trash right on their desk. Now, that seems like a clear communication, right? And you stalk back into your office or over to your desk and you know, try to do one of the other things that is saying, do me, do me. But of course, out of the corner of your eye, you're watching to see, does this person jump up and take the trash out? And they don't. They don't take the trash out. They keep doing what they're doing, which from where you're sitting looks a lot like nothing. And you clearly just gave them a something to do when they're sitting there doing nothing. Well, that's what hunting looks like in the planning stages. If you've given them an assignment, something he's supposed to execute for you, that person could just be sitting there thinking about what it is they're supposed to do and coming up with their plan, zeroing in on exactly what this result would look like and what would be the best method for accomplishing it that would use the least amount of energy, and on top of that, play up their strengths and avoid their weaknesses. Because when you're in hunting mode, those are the things you're going to do. And you don't even notice you're doing it. It's so natural. It's as natural as breathing to zero in on the result, zero in on the method, create a plan that plays up your strengths and does not challenge where you're weak. Having no idea that how that looks to other people is that you're sitting there doing nothing. And so you're sitting there, right? You're sitting there making your plan, right, in order to execute this result as best you can for the person who gave it to you, because you're really committed to this job. You really like this job. You really want to win at this job. You want to hunt down and catch that thing that they asked you for. And you're totally focused on that, and you're working it out, and boom, this person you're trying to provide for slams a trash can down on your desk. What? What the heck was that? What was that about? Well, it has nothing to do with what I'm working on, so keep working, which is what the brain just naturally does. But it was a big interruption. Bam! Slammed down on the desk. So where was I? What was I thinking about? yeah, that's what I was doing. So there's an interruption and having to restart. Adrian, have you ever been in a situation like this?
Yes.
On one side of the planet.
Absolutely, both sides. I've been sitting here laughing.
Fine.
Glad that I...
This happens all the time. It happens in schools. It happens in businesses. It happens at home. It happens when a hunter and a gatherer go to the mall, and one of them's hunting something, and the other's opened all the possibilities. And to the person hunting something, the gatherer is just interrupting and off purpose, and not supporting what needs to be accomplished. And to the person gathering, the hunter's just a buzzkill. They're just a party pooper, and they're taking all the fun out of it. And whichever side you're on, whether you're on the gathering side or the hunting side, you experience being undermined, unsupported, unappreciated. Like, this other person just isn't even, how could they have so little a clue? That's what it seems like, that the other person is just clueless. And usually what we've seen is when you're in gathering mode, the hunter seems clueless. And when you're in hunting mode, the gatherer seems scattered. Scattered, unfocused, silly even. They can seem silly. And neither one is either. Both are completely fulfilling the instinctive drives of that mode. And I really mean instinctive. And, you know, one of the things you'll see if, you know, if you participate in our programs is, you know, we talk about the definition of instinct, which is a primal biological urge impelling a response which brings relief of tension. So whether it's in the office, at home, in a schoolyard, in a shopping mall, in a parking lot, going down the freeway, the people in the hunting and gathering modes are experiencing tension. Unless they're accomplishing. Unless they're accomplishing the result they're committed to, right? Then the hunter won't be tense. The hunter will be jazzed. Or the gatherer's actually collecting all these possibilities, gathering up all the possibilities and getting to take advantage of them and get them done and take them home, then they will have a relief of tension. Unless those two things are happening, which you can see from these conflicts, they're often not, both are driven by this incredible tension. And that tension creates harshness. It creates snarliness. It creates snapping at each other. It creates a shortness of temper. And that's all just the tension of that something bad's going to happen for the person gathering. If I don't take advantage of all of this, if I don't get all this done, something bad's going to happen. And for the person in hunting mode, if I don't accomplish this, if I don't produce this result, something bad's going to happen. And both modes will be driven by tension because they're instinctive. And we like to think that we're free of instinct, you know, in this modern age, and we're so evolved and we have such technology and freedom and all that good stuff. But I invite you to observe that maybe you're not, that maybe this determines a whole lot more of our day and our month and our year and the quality of our lives than we really would like to admit. And I'm not saying that we're completely at the mercy of instinct. In fact, what our work is pointed at is if you can recognize the instinct that's using your life and your energy right now, then you have a chance. You have a chance in that moment to add choice, what we would call a victory of human spirit. And what we like to do, because we're efficient and we'd rather capture the life force in instinct than try to overcome it, is that what if you could embrace your instincts and then add choice to it? So you don't have to overcome when you're in hunting mode. You don't have to overcome when you're in gathering mode. What if you could recognize it and then add choice to it? And a lot of our programs are about that. All the different instincts that we have, and what would a victory of human spirit look like if you were harnessing the power in that instinct, but making a choice that had the tension in that instinct not disempower you and the people you care about, not have you do things that don't work. So that's what we really focus on, and in all these different ways that we might do that, and where we can bring judgment and discernment to what we're doing, and how we can get behind each other, that instead of being frustrated by someone in hunting mode and upset that they seem so curt, they seem rude, they don't seem kind and considerate, so maybe we don't want to support them, we want to undermine them. If we could see instead, oh, what are they hunting? They're hunting something for me. They're producing that result for me. Well, then how could I support them? How could I get behind the plan, or at the very least get out of the way of the plan? You know, or someone in gathering mode that looks overwhelmed because there's so many things that are pulling them, so many possibilities and options and alternatives that are pulling at them to fulfill themselves, that instead of thinking, you know, well, they're scattered and disorganized again, you could instead see how that awareness that serves them as a gatherer in this moment is having them be overwhelmed by too many options, and ask, you know, how can I help? It's a really good question to ask someone in gathering mode. How can I help? And they'll think about it. Well, how can you help? And sometimes how you can help is just be pleasant company. There isn't anything they can give you to do that wouldn't take more time to teach you how to do it the way they need it than to do it themselves. But if you just sat there on the other side of the counter, on the other side of the desk, and were just pleasant company while they did it, that actually would be enormous support. So, Adrian, what I'd like to do is, if you would, tell them what's available to them if they'd like to participate in the Queen's Code Workshop or in the Heroes Challenge Workshop. And this happens to be amazing timing because I'm leading the Queen's Code Workshop on September 12th and 13th in Los Angeles for women, and I'm leading the Heroes Challenge for men in Los Angeles on October 3rd and 4th. And if at our website at understandmen.com, you can see the other dates that are available. Like, for example, we have a Heroes Challenge in Ohio and in Edmonton coming up in the next few months. And we have the Queen's Code Workshop happening all over the place every few months. It's happening in one of like 17 different regions. So you don't have to do it with me. And if you can't do it with me very soon, I would tell you do not wait for me to do it again. I don't lead the Queen's Code again until April in Dallas, and in probably Denver, I lead the Heroes Challenge in December of 2016. And some people get attached to me, and I appreciate that, but it's not worth it. You know, if you can do it with me, great, but if you can't, do it as soon as you possibly can, because these conflicts that happen between these two operating systems, and that they happen so frequently, they happen all day long, and they cause so many misunderstandings and hurt feelings and feeling of being dishonored and disrespected, and it didn't have to happen. And they happen all day long, every day, and the cost in our romantic relationships, they end our romantic relationships ultimately, they prevent them from ever getting off the ground. These misunderstandings damage our relationship with our sons and our daughters and our fathers and our mothers, and they totally get in the way of us being successful because we spend too much time in a state of frustration or spinning our wheels or not being able to get what we need from other people. So please, if you can't do it with me in these next few weeks, don't wait. Do it as soon as you can with someone else, because we're really careful in how we train our leaders. We have 100% money back guarantee. So we have a lot at stake in them being effective. And more than anything, we care about your life. We care about your sense of satisfaction and joy and fulfillment in your life and your ability to be a contribution to yourself and everybody around you. So, Adrian, would you tell them what's available in terms of being able to get a discount on the tuition and bonuses for registering to participate in either one of these workshops and how they go about it? And then I will take questions.
Yes, thank you. So we have a special opportunity for you tonight. The regular tuition of the Queen's Code Workshop or Heroes Challenge is $849, and you will get $124 off when you register with the promo code AA-815. So like Alison Armstrong, August 2015. Again, it's AA-815. And that'll make the price only $725 if you pay in full. Now, we also have a payment plan because we don't want money to stop you in getting what you need in your relationships with the opposite sex. And with the payment plan, you get $124 off your first payment, making it only $1. And then you'll complete the payment plan with 6 more monthly payments of only $125 for a total of $751, and that includes a $25 payment plan fee. And the way it works is that you don't have to make all of your payments before you do the workshop. So you can actually make one payment of only $1 and be in Allison's workshop in LA September 12th and 13th. And then you'll make the rest of your payments after the course. It's incredible. Or for the men, you'll make two payments before the Heroes Challenge in LA October 3rd and 4th with her, and then you'll complete your payments after that. Now we also have $261 worth of free bonuses when you register. And we want to prepare you so you can get the most out of the workshop. So we give you as a bonus an audio recording of a one-day workshop called Loving More by Sacrificing Less, which is normally $89, but you get it for free. And you'll learn how to stop wasting your energy and your time on things that others don't care about. And you'll gain more time and energy to spend on you. Now, we also have bonuses to support you after the workshop. So you'll receive 3 more hours of live teleclasses after the workshop, where you'll learn more advanced material and have an opportunity to ask questions. And normally that's $125, but you get it for free. And I love these because I can put the recordings on my phone and I can listen to them as a refresher when I need it. Now, also to support you after the workshop, we give you a private, or for the women, we give you a private one-on-one coaching call with a certified Queen's Code Workshop leader. And that's normally $48, but you get it for free. And those are so great because you get coaching about the specific men in your life or the specific challenges in your life. And they're always so wonderful and productive. I love coaching. Now, for the men, we don't have the coaching package, but we give you an extra hour of the post-workshop live teleclasses. So the total package value is $1,110, and you get all of that for only $725, which is 35% off. So it's $385 off. And the workshop is a tremendous value for an investment of only $725. And we did the math for you. Our payment plan is only $3.57 a day, which is often less than Starbucks. So to register and take advantage of this offer, if you type in any browser, type in register, understandmen.com. It'll take you right to the page for the women where they can pick their dates. Now for men, just click on the right-hand side where it says for men, and that'll take you the very top. It'll have Heroes Challenge for you. But what you want to do is pick your date, and then you're going to choose whether you want to pay in full or do the payment plan. And then that'll put the course in your shopping cart. And then you're going to put in the promo code AA-815, and you'll see the $124 come off, and it'll adjust your payment plan, and it'll all happen automatically. Now, if you are already a graduate of us and you want to hear this redesign and Allison leading and updating the Queen's Code workshop with all this exciting information, then you can review it for only $399 or four payments of only $104. And the promo code does not apply to the reviewer price. And you'll see it on that same page at registerunderstandmen.com. You'll see a link that says reviewers, and you'll click that to register. Is there anything else you'd like me to share with them, Allison? Allison, if you're talking, you're muted.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that's all I need you to talk about. Thank you for telling them all that. And if you'd like to ask a question, how you raise your hand is pressing 1 on your telephone keypad, and that will show up as a raised hand over on Adrian's dashboard. And while we're giving you time to do that, I just wanted to say that I have spoken more about the Queen's Code workshop than I have a Heroes Challenge. And if you'd like more information about a Heroes Challenge, it is at our website. And these workshops complement each other in terms of that in a Queen's Code, women are finding out how to get more of what they need from men so that they can be a better version of themselves. And in the Heroes Challenge, you're finding out what it is that you need to be the best version of yourself as you define it, and how to get more of what you need from other people so that you can be that person. And it's one of the things that's kind of tough for men because self-sufficiency is integral, right? It goes with being in a hunting mode of wanting to accomplish everything on your own that you can, until you recognize that, oh, this is a two-man job, or this is going to require a team. And one of the things that we do in a Heroes Challenge is really allow men to see in the company of other great men that there's only so far you can go on your own. And if you're truly committed to being extraordinary, you will probably need to develop the ability to receive more of what you need from other people and allow them to contribute to your greatness. And it's an interesting and a humbling but also really empowering moment in a man's life. Like, wow, this is how well I've done on my own. Yay for me. But who could I be if I had enough appreciation? Who could I be if I had all the transition time I needed? Who could I be if my plans are supported? Who could I be if I had enough sex? And how do I go about asking for all of that in a way that has the people around me be empowered and inspired to provide it? So if you'd like to learn more about Hero's Challenge, there's the webpage, and there's also a recording in the webpage that talks about the specific areas and problems that we solve and address in the Hero's Challenge. Do we have any questions? Adrian, any folks with questions?
Yes, we do. Bridget, you have the mic.
Yes, hi. How is everybody tonight? And thank you for putting on another wonderful teleclass for all of us. I am thrilled to have the opportunity to talk to you. So thank you for taking me. And taking me first at that. I am very interested in a man who's definitely the hunter type. I've even seen his hunting and fishing license on his refrigerator. And he works very hard. He has 3 jobs. I don't think he has enough time to himself, and you know, he does the best he can to relax, have fun when he can. I know that he is interested in me. He has told me and shown me that he's interested in me sexually. He's interested in talking about things like politics with me. We are very similarly minded in that regard, but I can't really get a feel for any kind of emotional connection he may have with me, and sometimes I feel like we don't really have one. On my part, I have told him that I adore him, and I do. And I would like to help him, if I can, without making him feel small and incompetent. It's hard for me to know how to approach this because I don't really know him that well. I've only known him for a couple of months, and I have told him that I really do want to get to know him better. And I know that his time is at a premium. How can I uphold his sense of masculinity and manliness while at the same time offering to try to help him with his hunts? He's got many hunts going on. I'm more of a gatherer by nature, and I can hunt, but I want to help him. I want to be an assistant without making the mistake of substituting emotional connection for utility. I don't want to just be an accessory or a useful person. I want to be his woman. I want to be his darling, and I told him that. But
can I interrupt you?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
We're in danger of me not having any time to answer your question.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay. It's actually, you perfectly demonstrated part of the instinct when we're in gathering mode, which we're compelled in gathering mode to give details that clearly identify what the issue is and give a historical context. So we're compelled. It's part of what happens in the gathering operating system. So please, you don't have to be sorry. I just want to make sure that you get what it is that you're asking for instead of that we ran out of time. Okay?
Thank you.
So, you're welcome. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Have you read my book, Making Sense of Men?
No.
Okay. So I'm going to recommend that to you because it will tell you a whole lot that I can't tell you in the next 5 minutes. And what it'll do is point out to you what are the signs that a man is emotionally involved. Because women look for men to be emotionally involved the way that we would express emotional involvement. And hunters don't express emotional involvement the way that gatherers do. So in Making Sense of Men, you'll see all the things that a man who's emotionally involved would be doing for a woman. And that will help you to discern, is there an emotional involvement here, or is there just a sexual attraction? So it'll allow you to sort that out. Is he just sexually attracted, or is he sexually attracted and emotionally involved with me? Okay? So that's the first thing I would say. All right? So go there, because it'll point it all out to you. And you can get it on our website. I think it's, I don't know, it's $10 or $15. There's an ebook. There's an ebook at Amazon. It's really easy to get, and it's a fast read and has charts, and it'll serve you well.
Thank you. We
created it many years ago to save women a lot of heartache and bad decisions. Now, the other part of your question is really asking him, is there any way I can support you? And when you ask that question, is there any way I can support you? I know you have a lot on your plate. There's a lot you're doing. I care about you. Is there any way I can support you? And after you do that, you want to put the imaginary duct tape over your mouth and wait. Now, you may have to wait a long time. You may have to wait minutes. You may have to endure, I don't know, I have to get back to you about that. It doesn't mean he's blowing you off. He may really have to think about it. He may have never been asked that question by a woman that he was seeing before. But it's a great question to ask. Is there any way I can support you? So that's the first part of it. And then the second part, which will be the most challenging, is that when he answers you, to believe him. To not think that he's trying to save your feelings or protect you, or he's unable to receive from you, to actually believe what he says. And the reason why I'm telling you this, Bridget, is because what he might tell you is that how you support him is by being a source of play, a source of interest, a source of energy, a source of magic, of sparkle. That how you support him is by you're the break. You're the best thing that happens to him when he's not working those three jobs. And that all you have to do to support him is just be you. And that may be the hardest thing to hear. Because that's something that women don't know about men, is how much who we are when we're just being ourselves nurtures them.
That's a lot to take in. That's pretty profound.
It is, yeah. We think we have to be doing something to contribute to men. And the truth is, and it's one of the biggest things that women learn in the Queen's Code, is who we are for men has them be contributed to us, contributed by us, just by walking by, just by eye contact, just by smiling at them, just by our physical beauty. Our physical beauty is so uplifting to them. And it doesn't mean we have to be all dolled up. We could just scurry past in a pair of sweatpants and a ponytail and contribute to them. And it's one of the biggest things we don't know about men is who we are for men. And it's one of the most important things that women need to learn is who are we for men. And it's one of the most important things that I learned from studying men. I got to see myself through men's eyes. And it's an amazing sight.
Wow.
We have a lot of good news, Bridget. A lot of good news. So thank you for a great question. I appreciate it.
Thank you so very much for your answers. Thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Adrian, I think that took us all the way home, right? So I'm glad it was one really good question.
If they have any questions about registering, they can hit reply to the email reminder that they got about this call, and I can help them with those.
Awesome. All right, great. So thank you, everybody, for taking the time to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to express this information in this way. I have never gotten to do this like this before and tie it together the way I did. I was just having the most fun, and that has a lot to do with the way you were listening. So thank you for contributing to me.